Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 250, the stanzas 1 and 4. How good it is to thank the Lord, and praise to thee, Most High, accord. To show thy love with morning light, and tell thy faithfulness each night. And what follows, Psalter 250, the stanzas 1 and 4. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 116. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, and now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, O Lord. Truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, and now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Jean Van Wieringa, who was readmitted to the hospital, Mrs. Lisbeth van de Breinhorst, who hopes to turn 85, and Mrs. Christine Grisnick, who hopes to turn 89 in this week, and Mr. Jonathan Emker, an elder in Corsica, who was accepted by the mission board as church worker for the mission in Bolivia. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou wast granted by renewal at the beginning of another week, on thy day, that we may meet one another once more within the walls of thy house. Do then grant a humble, a broken, and a thankful heart for the many blessings in the midst of all the trials of life, which thou so richly, undeservedly and abundantly has showered upon us as sinful people. Lord, then we may thank thee for the precious gift of thy holy word that may be opened each time by renewal in thy house, in the family circles, and in our Christian school. The inspired word of God, a word thou declareth unto us thy perfect creation, our deep fallen Adam, but also the way, oh, the only way, because there is only one way to be saved, and that is through thy dear Son as the way to the Father, by the application of the Holy Ghost. Ah, Lord, thou wast given unto mankind in thy wisdom and in thy goodness the precious gift of the Sabbath day, where we may rest from our labors and tend in a special way to the needs of our never-dying soul. Ah, Lord, then thou yet granteth a place, a warm place, in the midst of the cold of winter, that we and our children may gather to hear what thou hast to say unto us. How wilt thou then grant what we cannot give unto ourself? And that is truly a low place at thy footstool, with a vehement desire that thy great and triune name may be honored and glorified, and that thy kingdom may come, our Lord. Then we commend unto thee so many, all those that are denied our blessings and our privileges, and what maketh us to differ. Then it is thee alone, where thou yet maketh a difference where there is no difference, because we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, the many upon this world that are denied also on this Sabbath day the blessings which so undeservedly thou grantest unto us and our children. The persecuted church that are called upon to gather in secret in caves with much trembling, those in prison in the country where there is war, in hospitals, in prisons, many other places, Lord, wilt thou in this day, wilt thou be a little sanctuary unto them, as it is written in thy holy word. And, Lord, the greatest number upon this earth, they clearly declare by confession and by walk that thou wast not dominion over them. But, Lord, then we do well, each and every one, to examine our hearts, how it is on that journey to eternity. Because when we come up to thy house, then it is also a house of examination. We read in thy word that thy church has confessed other lords have had dominion over us, but by thee we will make mention of thy name only, Lord. We humbly beg of thee for a rich blessing upon thy holy word, that it may be in this hour for the conversion of sinners, that the careless may be awakened out of their sleep, the ignorant instructed, but that it may also be a house of comfort and of encouragement, the strengthening of faith, that in this hour that awful God, this honoring unbelief, that it may have to flee, and that there may be those with a childlike faith that may simply be given to look upon thee and, to trust in thee, Lord. Do it then for thy honor and for thy glory, where thou wast promised that thy words shall not return void unto thee, and that in thy house that the poor shall be satisfied with thy bread. Thou knowest how that each and every one, from the youngest to the oldest, has entered thy courts, when it is form and duty. Lord, it does not stand thee in the way. May it be the moment of thy free and sovereign good pleasure, but may there also have come up desiring souls, and Lord, may they not be put to shame. Wilt thou be a surprising God, and that it may even be granted that their cup may be given to overflow, Lord. We commend thy church unto thee. We may acknowledge and thank thee that thou wast given in the past week, that the mission board received freedom to accept a young elder of one of our congregations in the future to be sent to our mission field as a church worker, ah, Lord. Oh, well, thou remember him with his wife, their three little children. Undoubtedly, it cannot be different, overwhelmed. But wilt thou grant tokens, oh, special tokens following, and wilt thou be their helper ever near. Ah, Lord, thou knowest what mountains there can be, also the mountain of a new language. But may it be given to be experienced, as we read in thy holy word, that before Zerubbabel, oh, before the greater Zerubbabel, the Lord Jesus Christ, then the mountain shall be made a plain. Oh, may it then be, oh, bind it upon their hearts more and more, those never dying souls in that other country, but oh, Lord, also in our country, then there are so many that know not the difference from their right and left hand. Oh, also much room for mission work in our country that is returning more and more to heathenism. Lord, we commend unto thee all the temporal needs. Remember the old mother that was readmitted into the hospital with a weak heart. Then thou by renewal hast given much improvement, and perhaps soon to return home. Lord, wilt thou remember her with her husband, and that this calling may be used, oh, that it may be made profitable for their never-dying souls. We commend unto thee all under the doctor's care. Remember those that are struggling with weariness of the body and continual pain, the dreaded disease. Remember family members. All the circumstances are known unto thee. Then we commend them all unto thee. Wilt thou remember all our elderly ones, and wilt thou remember our mourning ones. Lord, in this morning hour, may our eyes be upon thee. May we be administered to out of heaven. Oh, when thy precious word may be opened, do open it indeed. And that with joy and liberty, we may be given to declare the wonderful things of the Lord. Oh, may thy word go forth with power divine. Lord, do go from bench to bench, from heart to heart. Those lawfully hindered, do go from dwelling to dwelling. Lord, then by renewal, we have to confess, nothing to plead upon, as another week lies behind us. And then we have to confess that our sins are manifold, that they are great. And then what a privilege it is when there may be that godly sorrow by the first time and by renewal and a fleeing to that only name given under heaven, that is the precious name of Jesus, because he has come to save his people from all their sins. Lord, may then the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our transgressions, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 311, the five stanzas. Oh, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? How shall my soul by grace restored give worthy thanks, O Lord, to thee? And what follows? The extra collection today is for the school. Psalter 311, the five stanzas. Thank you. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, what you can find in Psalm 23, the last four words of verse 5 and verse 6. My cup runneth over, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our text words speak of the sheep's concluding exclamation concerning the shepherd's blessings, with three thoughts in the first place, an overflowing cup. Secondly, two following escorts. And thirdly, an eternal dwelling place. The sheep's concluding exclamation concerning the shepherd's blessings. An overflowing cup, two following escorts, and an eternal dwelling place. Thus first, an overflowing cup. Beloved congregation, we have considered the last time the shepherd with the sheep, with the lambs on the high mountain pastures called table lands, where they were given to graze in green pastures, water supplied, where they were given to flourish, although we have also heard the fears of difficulties, because up in the midst of the mountains, then there are predators, and we have heard of many flies. At the end of the solemn, then we are coming closer to the winter months. The days are becoming shorter, perhaps up in the mountains because of the colder weather, and not so many flies to bother them. Thus a very blessed time for the shepherd and for the sheep. Then up in the mountains in the fall time, of course, natural sheep, they shall not have an impression of those things. But then we may see the faithfulness of the Lord in the changing of the seasons, which he has promised in Genesis 8, verse 22. And now for the shepherd and the sheep, especially the shepherd, then he is given to think of the winter months, that soon the sheep, they must be led down through the valleys, that they may come in the lowlands to the sheepfold, more protected from the elements. Oh, there can even be time that an early storm comes, difficult for the sheep and for the lambs, fills the shepherd with much concern. And now in the autumn time, before the shepherd would take his sheep and the lambs, they have come through that valley for the first time. Then in our text words, then the flock is given to speak to the shepherd, as it were, to look unto the shepherd in the way of thanksgiving and exclamation concerning the loving kindness and the care of the shepherd over his sheep that they have brought hitherto. Oh, our boys and girls know it. in the life of a natural shepherd, then there shall be times that he shall lose some sheep to sickness and to predators. But with the good and the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, it cannot be and it shall not be, because the shepherd has declared in John 10, verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. And now in the last verse, then we read, as it is in the third verse, when we read the shepherd solemn, then in the last verse, that the sheep is given to speak to their fellow sheep, and perhaps to goats on the other side of the fence, then words are used that can no longer really refer to natural sheep, because at the end of verse 3 we read, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so also in our text words, then terminology is used that cannot perfectly refer to the natural sheep, but that it refers to the spiritual sheep. They are sheep that have been born again, sheep that have received that love implanted in their heart. Oh, we have heard it from Psalm 116, that the sheep was given to exclaim that he loved the Lord. Oh, that is a special mark of those sheep. And now in our text words, then the sheep is given to rejoice with joy unspeakable, given to thank the shepherd for all the blessings which they have received. And so we read in our text, after we have heard, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. And oh, then the sheep is not forgotten about the shepherd. Do we not read of the children of Israel? And alas, the true sheep, what a confession they have to make concerning gratitude. We read of the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 32, when they have waxed fast, then Jeshurun has kicked backward, but so it is not in our solemn. And that was by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because before the words, the last four words in verse 5, thou anointest my head with oil, that is a type of the work of the Holy Spirit. It is by the Holy Spirit that a heart may be humbled and be made thankful. Oh, we have heard it out of Psalm 116. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? Then we read in our text words that humility and that bewonderment, that is a mark of grace, that the lambs and the sheep, when they consider who they are, who they remain, because those sheep, they learn what a foolish sheep they remain. Oftentimes a wandering sheep, sometimes a stubborn sheep, even a rebellious sheep that cannot agree with the shepherd. But in our text, then the sheep, the lambs of the first year, then the praises of the Lord are upon their lips, and they are given to declare, my cup runneth over. And what are we now to understand by a cup? Then our boys and girls can understand it, that the sheep cannot hold a cup. But the word cup in the scriptures, that oftentimes refers to one's lot and portion. Thus the sheep is given to simply declare the blessedness, that they may be given to rejoice, that they lack nothing up in the mountains, the flies have become less, they have been spared from predators, and that their portion is so full and given to express it with the words, "My cup runneth over." The Lord, he grants unto his sheep many blessings. And concerning that cup, then there are those times when they may be given to pause, to consider, to experience as the sheep up in the mountains, that there are times, that cup is full. But now the sheep and the lamb in our text, you know, boys and girls, with a cup, it can be very full. It can even, the water or the liquid can even be higher than the brim. But then there comes a time when you add one more drop that cup overfloweth. And so we read in our text that the sheep was given to say, "My cup runneth over." The blessings so great, so manifold. They lack nothing. They may be a lamb of the good shepherd. They may have an eye to the shepherd. And we must remember that in our text words, beginning with verse 4, then the sheep is given to turn and to speak to the shepherd. How a shepherd shall delight when he may see his flock, the sheep, the lambs, that they are given to rejoice. Sometimes they skip in the pastures when they are content, when they may lie down, where the fears have fled, and it is all because of the shepherd. And now in our text, a special word of thanksgiving. "My cup runneth over." Then the sheep is given to speak of the benefits of the covenant of grace, which Christ has merited for his people. Regeneration, justification, sanctification. Then we could speak of the gifts, the graces which he grants to his sheep. Oh, young and old, the privilege, the blessing. And let us say already, when we are coming to the end of the Shepherd Solemn, then we do well to examine whether we know the Shepherd of this Solemn, whether the Lord has begun that good work, and then he fills the vessel, the cup, with all those graces, love, faith, hope, repentance, humility. And now in our text words, looking unto the shepherd. Because when the sheep has spoken those words on the mountain pastures, you remember, boys and girls, then in the surrounding forest, then there were still those predators with those two eyes looking at the sheep, waiting for a time whether one of those sheep may become a prey and may be devoured by a wolf or a cougar or an other wild animal. But now in our text, then the sheep is not looking at the forests and not looking within. Then the sheep, they have to be very ashamed with so many blessings, so unthankful, and so much evil dwells within, as we read of Paul in Romans 7. But now the shepherd, the sheep may be given to look solely at the shepherd, who he has been and who he remains for the sheep. My cup runneth over. How was that now possible? That those sheep, those lambs, that they may be given to receive a cup that runneth over. And that does not only take place in the further exercises, because for the lambs and the sheep full is full. Nevertheless, necessary that the sheep are led further. How it is possible that the sheep, a sinful sheep, a foolish sheep, how they may receive such a cup of joy, a cup of blessing, and a cup of thankfulness. And the reason why such a sheep is not handed a cup full of wrath. It's what those sheep learn. And therefore the necessity that the church comes to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the pardoning of their sins, because the Lord cannot step over his justice. We hope to hear more thereof in this evening hour. And how is it now possible that the sheep may say to the shepherd, my cup runneth over, overflowing, so full? That is the wonderful work of grace. Because the shepherd, we read in the Bible, that he has also received the cup. And in the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 51 verse 17, there we read of a cup of fury and a cup of trembling. That is a cup of the wrath of God over the sins of mankind. And the sheep, they learn thereof. Because we have heard in verse 3, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And now the cup of wrath. Then the Father, with a cup of wrath, that is such a terrible cup, such a full cup, over the wrath of sins committed, original and actual, then the Father has taken that cup full to the brim. So fearful. And he has not given that cup to the sheep. They learn of it. Oh, they are given to weep over it. They are given to tremble under it. They receive that godly sorrow over their sins. They are given to agree with that cup. They have deserved it. Sin so oftentimes, and they continue to do so, that it would be just that those sheep would have to drink of that cup here in the time, temporal punishment, but to all eternity, and in hell that cup shall never be emptied. But now how is it possible that the sheep may say in our text, my cup runneth over, that is a cup of pardon, cup of forgiveness, a cup of joy, a cup of thankfulness. Then we go to the Garden of Gethsemane. There the Father of the shepherd has given that cup to his dear Son, the Good Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, for him to drink. And that cup was so terrible, so awful, so frightening, that the Son of God, all we read, that his sweat has become as great drops of blood, which have fallen to the ground. Such a terrible cup that the Son has prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I wilt, but as thou wilt. Must not understand that the good shepherd in the garden of Gethsemane, where he was given to give his life for the sheep, that he is pulled back from that covenant made in eternity, that he would come to pay the price. But we must understand it, that that cup was so terrible, so frightening, and so full. The wrath of God, who is of pure eyes, than to behold evil, that the Son, as the good shepherd, has asked his Father whether perhaps there was an other way that the sheep may be saved and his Father glorified than the drinking of that cup, but all immediately. An eye upon the Father's glory, and then he was immediately given, not as I wilt, but as thou wilt. And now the good shepherd for his sheep, then he has emptied that cup to the last drop. He has cried out, it is finished. The Father has given his divine amen upon the work of Jesus Christ, the shepherd, in the state of his humiliation. Thus, the cup has been emptied. But now the sheep in our text may declare, my cup runneth over. Thus the shepherd has emptied that cup, drank that cup to the last drop, and then he has filled it with his righteousness, with his blessings, the benefits which the shepherd has merited for his sheep. And then that cup with those blessings, and that by the work of the Holy Spirit, then he grants that cup to the sheep, that they may drink thereof, that they may rejoice. Oh, surely special moments for the sheep in our text, special blessings received, a special speaking of the shepherd, a special instruction, a further leading, a further discovering. And then the sheep may say, my cup runneth over. We read in Romans 8, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, that is all the sheep, and every lamb, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The blessed portion of the flock of the good shepherd. We have said it was fall time. Already in the fall time, even in the late summer up in the mountains, then suddenly the sky can become dark, already snowstorm, sleet. But now the time shall soon come when the shepherd's time, and that he shall lead that flock. They have come through the valleys. We have heard it from verse 4, through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. But now the sheep shall be called to return through those valleys to the lower lands. And to that end, we read in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That is our second thought. Two, following escorts. Do you know what an escort is, boys and girls? Sometime on the road when there is construction and there's only one lane open, then we have to wait. And then a vehicle comes that is called an escort. He turns around. And then we are called to follow that escort. Then he takes us to the other side of the construction site. Thus an escort is one, a guide, one that leads, one that directs. And now the sheep, by true saving faith, may say in our text, surely, not maybe, not perhaps, or not if I am now a very good and obedient sheep, never unthankful, never fall into temptation, never have those wandering thoughts, praying, reading the Bible, no stipulations. But the sheep was given to say surely. And what is that surely now based upon? Does the sheep have anything to boast of? Ah, the sheep, they are given to learn that it is grace in the beginning, grace in the furtherance, and grace to the very end. Thus that surely, that in the first place is based upon the covenant of grace, which was made in eternity, where the Trinity is counseled concerning the saving of the sheep in a way that the Lord may receive all the honor and the glory. Then in the second place, then that surely, that is based upon the promises in the Word of God concerning the whole flock, from the smallest sheep to the biggest sheep, that surely is spoken by the exercise of faith. And we must understand it rightly. The greatness and the goodness of the shepherd, that does not depend upon the faith of the sheep. Ah, that is the doctrine of the Arminian. They tell that those sheep, they have a free will, and they must believe it is true. Let us never forget the command in the Bible is to believe. But it does not say in the Bible that we can believe. That is given by the Holy Spirit, but now the Arminian. Ah, what a sad doctrine. They tell us that the sheep, they have to believe of their own free will and their own strength. And to that end, they also have to preserve and keep that faith. Because if that faith is not an exercise to that end, the Arminian declares that it is possible the one Sabbath day to be a sheep when we exercise faith, but when that faith is not an exercise, that we are not a sheep. What a God is honoring doctrine. But now in our text, surely, upon the promises made in God's word, which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus for all his sheep, Titus 1 verse 2, a God who cannot lie, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Ah, that statement, surely, that is based upon the love of the shepherd. And now the sheep up in the mountains, then that surely may be past, based upon the past and what they have experienced in the past through the valleys, difficulties, but the shepherd is kept and watched over them in special ways. Sometime the sheep, at the very moment, they do not have an impression thereof. But what a blessing it is when those sheep up in the mountains, when they may be given to reflect from the time they were a little lamb in those green pastures, the still waters, through the valleys, given to reflect upon the wonderful works of the shepherd, that they have been kept hitherto, that they must say with the psalmist, if the Lord was not on our side, we would have been swallowed up alive. And now there are times must be given. Oh, those sheep, they have much to do with that unbelief. That is the greatest sin. It is necessary that it becomes so each time by renewal, that we are given to weep concerning that mistrusting the good shepherd. Look more to circumstances, listen more to the devil than to the word of the Lord. But Paul has written to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10, who hath delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and trust that he will yet deliver. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Ah, that surely, that is based upon the high priestly prayers of the great high priest at the right hand of the Father, as we read in John 17. Two of following escorts, we read of goodness and mercy, that they shall follow me. An old shepherd, he has described it thus. In the Bible, we do not read anywhere that shepherds had sheepdogs. In the Bible, look more upon unclean animals, dogs roaming the streets, eating Jezebel, licking the blood of Ahab. It is true in Matthew 15. We also read of those little dogs that were under the table. But we do not read of sheepdogs, but an old shepherd has written, when he reads that text, surely goodness and mercy, then he was given to think of his two sheepdogs. The one called goodness, and the other one mercy. And those sheepdogs, they do the will of the shepherd. We may say an extension of the arm of the shepherd and the mind of the shepherd, because our boys and girls can understand it. When the shepherds would lead that large flock back through the valleys, and then when there would be predators, then they would wait, perhaps for a loner, one that has taken time to nibble at some grass, not faithfully following the shepherd, and then he would fall prey. But now in our text, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Those boys and girls, then you can picture it. Then beside and behind the flock, those two sheepdogs, and woe unto the predators that would try to attack and devour those sheep. Thus, a simple explanation that our boys and girls can even understand it, and then the sheep would surely understand the privilege, the blessing, even more so for those sheep that have come at the end, because those sheep that were close to the shepherd, but spiritually then it can be so. Not saying it is so. But with the natural flock, then all the sheep, they cannot be immediately beside the shepherd. Then there were also those that have come far behind. And now the sheep is given to say to the shepherd, "Ah, shepherd, I have now nothing to fear." We are soon called upon to go down through those valleys, many dangers, but I have nothing to fear, because there are two escorts. They are goodness and mercy that shall follow me. When we consider the goodness and mercy of the Lord, then a separation to be made between common goodness and mercies. And the special goodness and mercy which Christ has merited for his people. Has that become our question? With all the blessings, all the goodness, all the mercies that the Lord showers us with, has that now ever become our question, Lord? Are they now only common mercies? May I then ask you, congregation, where does the goodness and mercy bring us? That can make a separation. Where does now the goodness and the mercies of the Lord, and they are great, and they are manifold, even greater when we consider our manifold sins, where do those mercies now bring us? Do they bring us closer to the Lord, his word, his institutions, his house, or with all the mercies, do we go further into the world, further departing from this word? Perhaps even the hardening of the heart. There's a question, needs an answer. What is now your answer? With all the mercies and the goodness. Because we read in Romans 2 verse 4, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance." Thus the goodness of the Lord for such a sinner as I am. And then by the work of the Holy Spirit, that is the Lord's work, in the heart of his flock, then they become so small and so humble. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, that godly sorrow that worketh repentance. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Then we could speak in this morning of protecting mercies, caring mercies, guiding mercies, instructing mercies, forgiven mercies, and now the sheep is given to believe, given to trust, that those mercies, that goodness, all of the shepherd, that they shall accompany the flock, also through the valley, And then it speaks in our text, shall follow me all the days of my life. Then in our text, do you hear it, congregation? What the sheep says, all the days of my life. What is the sheep then saying? And then we hear in the last closing verse of this solemn that the sheep is given to more speak spiritually of those true sheep. Then the sheep is given to say, all the days of my life. I read in Psalm 31, verse 15, my times are in thy hand. Then the sheep is given to confess that the journey of the sheep, that it shall come to an end. Let us first sing. Psalter 53, the five stanzas. And the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green, he leadeth me. The quiet waters by. And what follows, Psalter 53, the five stanzas. the sheep's concluding exclamation concerning the shepherd's blessings. An overflowing cup, two following escorts, and thirdly, an eternal dwelling place. Then we read in our solemn enclosing, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then the shepherd, you can picture it, boys and girls, the shepherd, maybe with sheepdogs, with escorts, then they have come from the mountains, they have come through the valleys, maybe through storms, and then they have returned to the sheepfold in the lower lands, where they shall spend the winter. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then when we come to the end of this solemn, then the question is young and old, boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and elderly ones, whether this solemn excludes us or includes us. Have we heard her name mentioned? Have we received a well-grounded hope that we have become part of that flock? And then it can be that at the end of this solemn, for souls for whom it is not all strange, but that still of many doubts and fears, and that what the John Newton oftentimes say with tears, 'tis a point I long to know, oft that fills with anxious thought, am I thine or am I not? Then also at the end of the solemn, then there is a special mark of grace declared that each and every one can examine their hearts whether they have a well-grounded hope that they belong to that people. Oh, we have heard it from Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hears my prayer and supplication. We have heard from Psalm 116, given to take that cup of salvation. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? But now in the closing verse, then the sheep, the lambs, they may say to the shepherd by true saving faith, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then it speaks of the house of the Lord. When the sheep is given to say, I will dwell, then it is implying that is his life and that is his desire. That is a sure mark in the word of God of those whom have been wrought upon savingly by the Holy Spirit. Concerning the house of the Lord, then in the book of the Psalms, then we read different, even many Psalms, where the psalmists are given to express their desire, their delight and joy to be in the house of the Lord. It is true, those sheep, all those lambs, then you do not have to ask them so much for that desire. That becomes their life. Then they are so glad when there may be an extra service. And they shall, of course, there can be lawful reasons, but they shall do their best to put everything out of the way that they may be in the house. Because they read in Psalm 87 verse 2 that the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. In Psalm 26 verse 8, there we read that the psalmist has expressed that he loved the habitation of the Lord's house, the place where the Lord's honor dwelleth. And in Psalm 27 verse 4, there we hear a sheep say, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And in Psalm 65, there we read of those blessed sheep whom the Lord chooseth, that they may draw nigh unto him. And the psalmist in another psalm has declared where they were given to behold in the sanctuary. In Psalm 84, there the psalmist is given to express the blessedness of the house of the Lord, the tabernacles of the Lord, even rather to be a doorkeeper than to spend many days in the house of wickedness. Oh, in Psalm 122, there they were given to speak to one another that they were glad when they said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. In Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And in Hebrews 10, verse 25, the command not to forsake the assembling of themselves together. Thus, at the end of this solemn, a special mark of grace, which the Lord grants by the work of the Holy Spirit. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because when we consider the house of the Lord, that is a house of conversion, a house of instruction, a house of comfort, a house of encouragement, a house of provision, a house where the sheep may feast on fat things, that is a house of communion, a house where the Lord has promised to dwell and to work in special ways. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then the sheep is not only given to speak of this time, a beginning, a foretaste, only in part. Many a trial, many a doubt, many a temptation, many a chastisement, many fears that one day they shall succumb, can and shall never be. But for the true sheep, a beginning of that eternal life, as we read in our Heidelberg Catechism here below, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That cannot be for the sheep, because the sheep and the lambs, they shall die, return to the dust. But for the sheep of the Good Shepherd, He has purchased them for body and for soul, for time and for eternity. And what shall it then be for the sheep? Delivered of self, of the world, predators, the devil, unbelief, and then it shall be fulfilled. My cup runneth over, first for the soul, more so when body and soul shall be reunited to come in that restored paradise. We read in the last two chapters of Revelation described the river, the water, pure as crystal, proceeding from the throne and from the Lamb. We read of those trees, tree on either side, where those fruits that are for healing, for life, that golden city of Jerusalem, where no sheep shall say, I am sick, I am weary, I am tired. Their sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, in Psalm 23, then David may have a little beginning. Oh, at the end in 2 Samuel 23, verse 5, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made an everlasting covenant, well ordered in all things. That was the only hope and expectation for David. And then when David was taken out of this life, oh, then this psalm, then it has received its fulfillment. There shall be no more valleys of death. Then also for David, for the true sheep, through the valley of the shadow of death, then the great shepherd shall lead them safely home, young and old. And now the all-important question, that is actually eternal question, that determines where we shall spend eternity. Have we now become a sheep? Are we a sheep? Because in Matthew 25, the verses 31 through the end, then we read, then we shall all see the shepherd on the great white throne. Shall not be one missing. And then we shall see him. Oh, the goats is an angry judge, but the sheep, the blessed Savior. And then he shall send forth his angels. And then he shall separate the congregation of Pitcher Butte, the goats and the sheep. May we be given to examine ourselves, my unconverted fellow travelers, what blessings declared. Seek the Lord. Use the means of grace. And for the lambs and the sheep, many precious marks of grace in this solemn by which we can examine ourselves. We hear a sheep declare in Psalm 73, the verses 23 and 24, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou wast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we humbly ask thee, may thou add thy indispensable blessing in the midst of the congregation for the hearts of young and old. Use it that the unconverted may be given to see their wretched condition, and if not converted, their awful portion. Spare that we build not upon sandy foundations, but, O Lord, may it be used for instruction, for encouragement, for comfort, and for correction, for the true lambs and the sheep. Thou knowest who are thine. They are those who have received a special place at thy footstool, who may be given to confess, I love the Lord, because he heard my prayer and my supplication, all given to experience with their trouble and with their sorrow, when they are brought low, that thou knowest of them, that thou wast helped, that thou wast so ready to pardon, and those sheep that receive those humble and broken hearts, Lord, graciously watch over us and our children in this day. Help and bless the family circles. Grant traveling mercies over the slippery roads, and graciously return us in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 202, the stanzas 1 and 2. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand. Thou carest for me. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a Remembrance Day service Thursday evening, November 10, at 7:30 p.m. The combined youth group meeting has been rescheduled for this coming Saturday in Nobleford, and the banner of truth is at the exit. Psalter 202, the stanzas 1 and 2. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.